I want to read the text, and then I'm going to share some prayer requests with you, and then we'll pray together. But if you have your Bibles open, did I say John chapter 5? I want to begin reading with verse number 18, John chapter 5, verse 18. I have in the last several weeks been dealing with Judgment House with the thought of judgment. And I want to look at verse number 18. What has happened just previous to this is the Lord has come to the pool of Bethesda, and there's a man who's been there 38 years. He's lame. He can't get in the water. And the Lord said, would you be made holy? He said, I have no man to put me in the water. And there's no man can help me. And when you come to the place where you realize that there's nothing that man can do to help you, thank God there's somebody who will show up every time. When you realize that you can't help yourself and nobody else can help you, Jesus is the one who can help you. And so he comes and he heals the man at Bethesda, at that pool of Bethesda. And just like any time God's working and God's blessing, there's always people to criticize. And so the Jews standing by, they criticize him because he healed this man on the Sabbath. And so notice their reaction in verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. They already wanted to kill him, and now they're more incensed, and now they're planning desperately to kill him. And beginning at verse number 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word, that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, this is not the end of our Lord's lesson to these Pharisees, but that's what I feel like the Lord wants me to preach on this morning. I call your attention back to verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for the Lord, the great presence and power of God throughout Judgment House. Thank you, our Father, for the many hours again of labor, the physical aspect of getting all the set ready. God, I pray, God, that you would bless and reward them for all those who worked behind the scenes in preparation, for all those who worked in the parking lot and in the kitchen, and God, for those who did the light and the sound, and for every aspect of the ministry, all the boys and girls, as Wendy's recognized this morning, and all the adults, God, who were participated in the ministry, for those who worked in registration, and Lord, for working those who worked in the council room, and those who were privileged to be able to lead folk to Christ. Our Father, we bless your name and thank you for all you've done. And our Father, I want to thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has been magnified. You said, if you be lifted up, that you draw all men, and God, you've kept your word. Thank you for the faith of God's people. Thank you for the faithfulness of God's people. Now, God, I pray you'd bless this time. Lord, I pray not one man, a woman, boy, or girl in this building would die lost. I pray, God, that they would be saved. And God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I call your attention back to the text once again, and I just want you to know I forgot my watch, John, and we're on a due time anyway, so I don't know what time it really is anyway. But at any rate, I call your attention back to verse number 22 in John chapter 5. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment to the Son. You remember that I have dealt with judgment in the last several Sundays, and Sunday morning and Sunday night. Hebrews says this, that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And God spoke to our heart and made us realize that after that, that death is not the end. That every person has an after that. Every man, woman, boy, and girl does not cease when they die. Thank the Lord, those who are saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they awake and know everything. But like the man in the New Testament our Lord talked about, and he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Death's not the end. And then we learn from that passage of Scripture that we're not in charge. The appointment, we didn't make it. Somebody else made the appointment. God made an appointment for us. It's appointed unto men once to die. You're not in charge. You have opportunity to love him, serve him, do what he wants you to do here, obey him, but ultimately he's in charge. And then we learn this, that we are accountable. You can ignore him. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to know the Lord. You don't have to know the Bible, anything. But God holds every human being that he's created accountable to him. You're accountable to him. Whether you know him or not, whether you accept him or not, whether you believe the Bible or not, you're still accountable to God. You'll have to give an answer at the judgment of seat of Christ as a believer or at the white throne judgment as a lost person. And then we've dealt with the judgment seat of Christ for believers on a Sunday evening. Last Sunday night I preached on judge nothing before the time. And then last Sunday we preached again on the justifying judge and how that he can be just and the justifier of those who come to him. And this morning I want to preach to you for just a few minutes, if God will help me, on Jesus the judge. Most of us don't ever think about Jesus being the judge. But this passage of scripture, he said, God hath committed to me, the Father's committed to me, all judgment. I think about Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. At Christmas time, we think about him being the babe, Emmanuel, God with us in the manger. We think about him being the great healer, the great teacher. But I want to tell you something. He is the judge. It says in this passage of scripture that God the Father committed all judgment to him. Notice in the first place this morning, the commitment of that judgment. In the context that he made this statement, God the Father committed all judgment unto me. Just previous to that, the Bible says that they sought the more to kill him. And here he is telling them, not only am I God's son, not only did I heal on the Sabbath, but the truth of the matter is, I am the ultimate judge of all of you. Boy, you're talking about something adding fuel to the fire. That adds fuel to the fire. This Christ, the creator of all things, John said without him was not made anything that was made. He made all things. He fashioned all things. But beyond that, he controls all things. The Bible said by him all things consist. And in him we live and move and have our being. He's in control of everything now. He created everything. He's in control of everything now. But thank God, listen, he is the Christ. The very one that they talked about, the very one they were anticipating, Jesus was the Christ. He's the one they were anticipating. But now this one is judge. Jesus says, the Father committed all judgment to me. Think about that. Here he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the hated one, but he's going to be their judge. He's the rejected one, but he's going to be their judge. He's the persecuted one, but he's going to be their judge. He's the one that they've ignored, but he's going to be their judge. He's the one they blaspheme, but he'll be their judge. He's the one they plot to kill, but he'll be their judge. What an amazing, the commitment of that judgment. In God, and when I read that, you know, when you read the book of Revelation, and he says that there's one of the plagues that it turns all the water to blood, and then there's a word that comes and said, Thou art holy, you're just, and what an awesome thing this is. They have shed the blood of the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. What an ironic thing, what a just thing. And now here's the one who is rejected, and he's going to be their judge. Boy, what an awesome thing that is. He has been committed that judgment by God the Father. But not the commitment of that judgment, but notice the content of that judgment. Look at it in your Bible there, if you will, please. He said in verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. If you mark your Bible, circle that little word, all. Here's the content of the judgment. He's going to judge. He is the judge of all things. All judgment, the content of every bit of it. He's the judge of all our moral actions. He's the judge of all our religious action. He's the judge of all our social action. He's the judge of all our thoughts. He's the judge of all our motives. He's the judge of our inner private life. He's the judge of our public life. And he's the judge of all things. There's not one area of your life that he's not the judge of. That's Jesus. He knows all about it. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's the judge of everything, every bit of it. The Bible said we'll have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as Christians to give an account for the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. He is the judge. And God has committed that to him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal. But God said the Son's one who will stand in judgment, the one who they've rejected, the one who they crucified, the one who you rejected, the one who you ignore. You'll have to answer to him. You'll have to stand before him. But not only do I want you to note this morning, not only here in this passage of Scripture, the commitment of that judgment and the content of that judgment, but I want you to turn over to another passage in the book of John, chapter number 12. Look in John chapter 12 at verse number 48. In John chapter 12, verse 48, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Again, I'm going to come right into the middle of his narrative there, but I want to pick out verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my word, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. Now here he's continued to address these Pharisees and these non-believers. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word. By the way, there's only two responses to the Lord himself and to his word. You either accept it or you reject it. You can't compromise it. There's no middle ground. This morning, when the invitation is given, you have an opportunity to receive Christ or reject Christ if you're lost. But here he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. Notice not only the fact, the commitment of that judgment to Christ, and notice not only the content, he's the judge of all things, but now we have the criteria. How does he judge? He doesn't judge indiscriminately. He's not moved by emotion sometime. If my team's a losing, which is rare, but if my team's losing, and I did not wear my tie this morning. We had such a great judgment house, I didn't wear my tie, but Hilton knows I got it. I laid it out. But at any rate, when you sports fans are watching a referee and calling a game, there are times, I have seen it, and that's not always true, and it, particularly if our team's losing, I notice it's the case. But sometimes the judge gets prejudiced toward one team or another. Some person will say something to him, and he's human. It's going to make him mad. And so some things that he might would ignore under normal circumstances and just let the guys play, boy, he'll be flag happy. He'll throw that flag every time. It kind of reminds me of a fella preaching one time, and I remember him talking about it. He said he was up in Canton, North Carolina, preaching, and said he went to a football game before the revival started with the pastor on Saturday. And he said it was a high school game. On why did he play on Saturday? It was a high school game, he said. And he said they called a penalty against the Canton High School, wherever he was at, up there in the mountains. I believe it's Canton. But anyhow, he said somebody right beside him hollered out and said, "Hey, ref, you stink." Said he looked up in the stands and walked off 10 yards. And he said, "How do I smell from here?" Another 10 yards. Hey, listen. Sometimes judges and referees are moved by emotion and their own prejudice. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not that way. He said, there's only one thing to judge you, and it's this book. And hey, you know what? When I've had the privilege, I guess it's the privilege, Tim, you know what I'm talking about, of having two Christian schools. I started two different Christian schools and churches I've pastored, and I served as pastor and principal. But I'm a lot smarter now. I would never do that again. But at any rate, but the schools we had were called ACE, Accelerated Christian Education Schools, and the kids had what's called PACES, math, English, so on, in a series for a year. There are 12 workbooks, and they work through those PACES, and what they do is they read a section, and then there's a series of questions that they answer on the self-test or the sectional checkup, and they go through, and what they've read, they write the answers down in here. And then when they finish that, they go to the score key, and they check their answers. And if they miss one, they mark it with a red pen, and they go back in. They go back to their desk, and they take their page, their little workbook out again, and they go back through that section until they find the right answer. In other words, the answers to all the questions are in the book. Nothing comes from subjection. Nothing comes from. No, there's no surprises on the section test. There's no surprises on the end of the PACE test. All the answers are in the book. And do you know what? When you stand before God, it is an open book test. All the answers are in the book. He said, when you stand before me, it won't be some mystical thing that you're supposed to have you be in a trance somewhere and I'm supposed to give you revelation and all those things. He said, the answers to all the questions in this book and all of my requirements in this book and all the things I want you to do and all the things I expect you to do and the way I expect you to live and the way I expect you to think and the way I expect you to behave yourself in this book. And he said, this book will judge you. This is the judge. He said, when I stand before you, I'm not doing it arbitrarily. I'm not doing it out of my emotion. He said, when you stand before me, all the answers in the book. My word, he said, will judge you in that day. His word in regard to salvation. Because some of you want to stand before God someday and say, hey, Lord, I did the very best I could. I did the very best that I could. And I really believe if a fellow does the best he could, he ought to get to go to heaven. And the Lord said, well, let me just see what the book says. The book says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And then there's another fellow who'll come and he'll say, hey, Lord, I read the Bible. I memorized the Ten Commandments. I did not cheat. I did not lie. I didn't commit adultery. I tried to worship God. I kept all the Ten Commandments. And he said, well, let me just see what the book says. It says, evident by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in his sight. You can't go to heaven because you keep the law. It's right there in black and white. And in regard to salvation, you say, well, Lord, I tell you what, I joined the church and I got baptized and I was faithful to the church for 50 years. And he said, well, let's just see what the book says. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Didn't say nothing about church membership. Didn't say nothing about baptism. He said, my words are judging that day in regard to salvation. This book is a book of salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you might know that you have eternal life. It's in the book. And this judgment, the criteria for Christ's judgment is this Bible. In regard to service, he judges us that way. He and whatever the Bible said, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice. You're to serve him. We're to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We're to serve him in the power of the Holy Ghost. And all the answers are in this book. In regard to your substance, all God's blessing on your life, the answer's in this book. Oh, God's been good to me, and God's blessed me, and God's blessed us. He's been good to all of us. But God has something to say about what he's entrusted to you, your stewardship in this book. I don't care what you believe, I don't care what I believe, but it's whatever's in this book he says about your giving. That's what he's going to judge you by. Everybody in here has an idea. Everybody in here has an opinion. But when you stand before God, it's not going to be what I think or what you think. It's going to be what's in this book. In regard to your sorrow and suffering and how you to react to all those things. It's in this book. And God judges you according to this book. And thank the Lord for that. The criteria is in this book. I'm glad, my dear friend, that he's made it so very clear to us. I want you to notice the consummation of this judgment. It's in the same verse I just read to you, chapter 48. All judgment's been committed to him. And the content of it is all judgment. And the criteria is his word. My word will judge you. But notice how it said in verse 48, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. Now, if you mark your Bible again, underline that last word, it says day. It does not say days. It's got the word day. And then you tell me what follows the word day. There's a period there. What that mean? It means the culmination. This is the end of it. The climactic events is this. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. That's it. This is the consummation of it. There's coming a day. Not days. Doesn't mean there's no... What's it mean? It means there's no redos. There's no slips like in Marvel's. It means when that day's here, it's over with. When that day comes, you cannot go back and make any corrections. You can't find out what's wrong and go back and undo it. In the drama. And I can't remember who played that part. One of our young men played that part, different ones sometimes. But he made a statement. I can get saved now. I'll trust you now. But Roger says, too late. Too late. Because when that day comes, there's a period at the end of that word. That means that's it. That's it. Jesus, the judge. The commitment of judgment to him. The content of that judgment is all of it. The criteria of it is his word. It's every bit of it. And the consummation means there's a day. And you said, Brother Bill, that's sure is a downer. No, not really. Because there's a verse before that verse. I want you to read verse 47 with me. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Oh, he is the judge. But there's a day out here when it's all over with. But there's some days before that. And Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world. It's not time to do that yet. And boy, I don't know about you, but boy, I sure was glad when Roger said, it's not your time yet. That told me I could go back and I could be a better pastor. I could go back and pray more, and I could go back and witness more. And you know what Jesus is saying? I didn't come to condemn you. You're condemned already. He said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world. That day's out yonder in the future. He said, I came here to rescue you before that day gets here. And thank God, I'm glad how many of you have experienced that. You know he's told the truth, praise God. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. And listen, if you're here today and you're lost, it's not judgment day yet, but it will be. There'll be a period after a while. There'll be a time when there's no more days. That's it. But right now, today is the day of salvation. Right now you can trust Christ. And he said, I didn't come to condemn the world or to judge the world, but he said, I came to save the world. And that means you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible said. Will you believe on him? Will you trust him? Right now, today, you can be saved. My dear friend, you and I will live with a consciousness that we are accountable to God. But I want to thank and praise God that God intervened in my life and that he didn't come into the world to judge me. He came to the world to save me. And he spoke to my heart. He spoke to your heart. And there's 70-something people during the judgment. He spoke to their heart. And they came and they, you know what? The Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin. All their sins gone. And they stand justified just as if they never sinned because of this Jesus. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. I wonder, would you trust him now? I wonder, would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now? In the radio audience, internet audience, and here in the building, would you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? And those of you who are saved, those of you who know the Lord, we ought to forever be grateful and thank him for the fact that he did not come to condemn us. You know what Jeremiah said? It's the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. Well, we could have been dead and in hell a long time ago. But God in his marvelous grace came and he saved us. And thank God for that. Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? You have your heads bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, listen to his words again. He said, I did not come into the world to judge the world, but I came to save the world. Oh, he came to our rescue. He is the judge. All the judgments are committed to him. And out there, there's a judgment day coming. But now, he said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. The invitation is open. just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. He wants you to come to him right now. Right now, I wonder in this building, would you be willing to believe on him? Would you be willing to trust him right now? Right now, would you do that? You say, Brother Billy, I want to be saved. I want to do it. He said, believe my word. He said, he that cometh to me, and I'll no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the book. That's not what a Baptist preacher says. It's what Jesus says. The condition of your salvation is that you believe that he died for you. And by simple faith, you accept him and receive him. If you'll do that right now here in this building, in the internet audience or radio audience, would you pray this simple prayer with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus bore all of my sins on that cross. I believe he died, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, I believe you paid my sin debt. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart. Save me right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for saving me right now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here in the building this morning, and just now for the first time, men, women, boys, and girls, if you prayed that simple prayer and you believe it in your heart, would you slip your hand right up? Let me acknowledge that. God bless you, friend. Somebody else across the building, God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Others, I prayed that prayer. God bless you. Let me just say this to you. Those of you who prayed that prayer, I rejoice and thank God for that. Jesus said this, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you need to tell people that you got saved. You acknowledge that. This will be your very first opportunity to do that right here in just a few moments when we give the invitation. Maybe you got saved during Judgment House and you haven't had a chance to let the church know it. Maybe you just trusted Christ just now as these who raised their hand. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world, but I sure would love the opportunity for people to know that you trusted Christ. They'll love you and pray for you. They've been where you are right now. They want to encourage you and help you. Be a blessing. So we'll give them the invitation a moment. Would you move to the nearest aisle and come? Greet Brother LaVon will be on one side here, Brother Tim on the other. I'll be here near the middle. If you'll come this morning, either one of these men or myself, say, this morning I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Or dear Judgment House, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I just want the church to know I got saved. I want to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. You may be a visitor or guest. You may not even get to come back here. But boy, we sure would love to know that you got saved this morning. For those of us who are Christians this morning, you went through Judgment House. You heard Roger say, it's not your time yet. Not your time yet. Well, I'm glad God extended my days. Some of you have been through things, kind of what I've been through, kind of right down to the door of death. God says, I'm going to give you new days. I'm glad for that. I'm glad God gave you another opportunity. I'm glad God gave me another day to love him and serve him. Glad God gave me a message for this morning. Glad God let me hear the singing of the choir and the special music. I wouldn't miss that. John and Angie and their family for anything this morning. That was a blessing. Hear Brother Tim and Wendy. See the excitement in them. Our good pastor from the Philippines. I'm glad God let me be here today. You ought not take any day for granted. But you ought to understand our accountability. Only one life to soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Some of you who are Christians may want to come slip around this altar and say, Lord, thank you for a new day. And God, I want to give myself to you afresh this morning. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd use me. Help me to be faithful to you. Some of you may be like I am, just overwhelmed with what God's done. And I know you have, and I know you continue to, but you might want to just come slip around this altar and just thank him again for letting you be a part of Judgment House and using you in such an awesome way. Give him all the praise and glory. Let's stand together, our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help men and women, boys and girls, to do now what they'll be glad they've done for all eternity. And I pray, blessed Holy Ghost of God, that, Lord, those who raised their hand this morning, the two individuals who raised their hand said they trusted Christ. Pray, God, that they'll, God, give them, Lord, the grace to step out. And I pray, God, for those who may have been saved during Judgment House and the whole church doesn't know they got saved yet, I pray, God, they'd come, let the church know they got saved. God, I pray that you just speak to hearts now. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.